Good morning. It's good to see everyone today. We're glad to have those of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here with us. Last week, we started looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We do have some here this morning that were not able to be present last Sunday, so I want to do just a little bit of a recap of what we discussed last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talked about spiritual gifts, and Paul is regulating how the spiritual gifts are used in the Corinthian church. And one thing that we have noted about spiritual gifts is that there was a time for some of these gifts to be imparted. And we looked last week at how these spiritual gifts were given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul says, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away." So there was a time and a place for these spiritual gifts. And for our introduction to this section of Scripture last week, what we looked at is how these spiritual gifts were imparted. And they were imparted by the laying on of the apostles' hands. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul indicated that he wanted to visit the Romans because he wanted to impart a spiritual gift to them. He said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed coming to you, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." So he desired earnestly to go there. And these were people that were Christians already, but in this period of time, there were spiritual gifts that were imparted. And we also noted that in the book of Acts, we see that Simon the sorcerer saw how the miraculous gifts were imparted, and they were imparted by the laying on of the apostles' hands, and he wanted to purchase that with money. So what we imply from seeing in the New Testament how spiritual gifts were imparted, that they were imparted by the apostles to others by the laying on of hands, and those who had hands laid upon them were not able to impart those gifts to others. It only came through the apostles, and there's no apostles around today, that those things have ended, just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that there were some things that were temporary, that were to confirm the gospel of Christ, and they were for a specified period of time. And after the apostles ceased to exist, then the ability for those spiritual gifts to be imparted to others ceased to exist. So that's a background to what we need to understand as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because there are some things that are involving spiritual gifts and the use of those spiritual gifts within the church that were for a specified period of time. Paul told the brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning spiritual gifts, "Brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, 'Jesus is accursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except in the Holy Spirit." So Paul wants these brethren not to be misinformed. He wants them to be informed. He wants them to know what it is that is the truth about these things. He wants them to have a firm foundation. And that's what we always want when we look at the Scriptures. We want to understand it as God would have us to understand it and to have a firm foundation. That's what our faith should be built on, so that we're not uninformed or led astray by false teaching. And there is a lot of false teaching on this subject today. We noted some of that last week, that there are those that still claim that they can do miracles, or that they're able to speak some kind of word of prophecy, or they can speak in tongues and other things that people claim today. And we'll say more about that as the lesson goes on. In fact, I read from several different sources from those who believe that miracles are still going on today. And there's one man who's pretty well respected author. His name is Wayne Grudeman, and he's written a lot of books, and he
he's what they call a continualist, one that believes that spiritual gifts are still continuing today. But it was interesting to me that he did make the point. He said that since no one today can meet the qualification of seeing the risen Christ with his own eyes, there are no apostles today. And so even he agrees that there's no apostles today, but there's some that, you know, want to claim that they are apostles and have gifts because of that. But it seemed interesting to me that he said, well, there are no apostles, but he still believes in miracles somehow. But the point here is Paul did not want the Corinthians to be led astray. And he says here in verses 2 and 3 that their experience with paganism probably had some poor effect on them. That, you know, the concerning spiritual gifts or things that were going on within pagan worship. And what God is doing now in the church is not the same as what you've experienced in the past in idol worship. Whatever you've experienced before is not akin to idol worship. And he particularly reminds them that there are things that are not going to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. If somebody is speaking in tongues or some kind of utterance, and one of the things that they may utter has to do with Jesus Christ, no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So there must have been something going on with this. There were those who claimed that they had spiritual gifts that were mocking Christ and saying things that were not true. And so there were things that people may have thought were of God and they were not. And so Paul uses this really kind of an extreme illustration that someone obviously who is speaking from the Holy Spirit is not going to say Jesus is accursed. If someone is speaking with the Spirit of God, they're not going to say things against Jesus Christ. A person speaking with the Holy Spirit will only speak the truth, and no one who is speaking in the Holy Spirit is going to speak false things. In verse 4, Paul states that there are many different spiritual gifts. And he says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And if you skip on over to verses 8 through 10, you know, Paul does list what some of the other spiritual gifts are. Catch up here. Verses 8 through 10. For to one is given through the Spirit to the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the one same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So we have here those that are speaking wisdom, those that have some spiritual gift of healing, those that have a gift of working of various miracles, spiritual gift of prophecy, and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And the point that Paul makes about these is that there is a purpose for them. In verse 7, he says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And I want you to recognize what he says that's for, that these things are for a purpose. The point for these gifts is for the common good. It's not because, well, I'm able to speak in tongues, so I'm going to boast in that, or I'm able to work miracles, so I'm going to boast in that. And you can see that any number of these things that people might have the gift to do, it might cause a little bit of pride that they were given that gift. Paul says it's not for that purpose. It's not for boasting. It's not for you to use it for yourself.
And I want you to note that this is very different than what we see people doing in the world today, those that claim to have these kind of gifts. Many claim to have spiritual gifts to draw attention to themselves. And you see that very often with the televangelists that claim to have a gift of prophecy or gift of healing. They do that to raise money, or they do that to draw people to them. And you could say it's a prideful thing, and that they are very well known for pushing that they have these abilities. And so you've got a world of haves and have-nots. And really, they're all have-nots, but they claim to have. And so Paul's instruction here is that these spiritual gifts are not to be used for self, but for what he calls the common good. These things were given so that other Christians would be benefited. They're not for self-indulgence or for any kind of self-reliance or drawing attention to self. These gifts are used to serve others. They're not a badge of spirituality. I want you to notice something else about these spiritual gifts. Sometimes when people, read this section of Scripture, they confuse gifts with talents. And what is being talked about here is not, somebody having the gift of gab, or they have the gift of being nice, or the gift of being able to make somebody that's feeling bad feel good. That there's things that people are good at, and there's things that sometimes we use, he's got a gift for that, or he really doesn't have a gift for that. We might use those kinds of phrases. And that's not what's being talked about here. It's about some kind of personality trait or some kind of characteristic that someone has. So don't fall into the trap of interpreting this as meaning talents or natural talents and abilities. But we see that this is talking about spiritual gifts. When you're talking about what you might call talents, unbelievers can have gifts of generosity or kindness or compassion. Spiritual gifts, as we're talking about here, is something that was supernatural, something that was given by God to believers by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts here, don't confuse it with what some people call talents. These are gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Also, notice something else that's important. Look at verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. So it doesn't just say that God gives them the gift. It says that God empowers the gift. Some translations might say that God works the gift or activates the gift. In other words, what it's saying is God is the one that makes the gift work. It's the one that was started by God. It's the one that's activated by God. These people did not activate their gifts. Why am I making such a big point about this? Remember last week when I talked about the person that tried to get me to speak in tongues, and they said that I needed to search for that, I needed to pray for that, I needed to seek that gift. These people were not getting these gifts because they sought them. They were given by God. They were activated by God. It's not something that we seek or that they activated under their own power. And people today that claim to have these gifts don't claim to do that and to do that from seeking that on their own. Whether it be gifts of healing or prophecy or whatever it might be. And you don't usually hear people deflect credit from themselves. So Paul is saying that what people claim today is not really possible. The true spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, by the laying on of the apostles onto a Christian, and it was activated by God. And you see all kinds of examples of that in the New Testament. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid on them cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. Isn't that interesting? So, Peter's not having to activate his gift, is he? I mean, this is just happening. Wherever Peter walked, people were healed, even when his shadow passed over them. So Peter's not causing his gift. Peter was given the gift. It was activated by God. And so it flies in the face of what some claim today, that they're doing that on their own or seeking for it and have activated it somehow. It's not happening today. I want to look with you the remainder of this lesson talking about the gift of prophecy. And we're going to look at some of the other gifts in our upcoming lessons. But I want you to see what Paul says here in verse 10. He says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, and to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the various interpretations of tongues. What do the Scriptures have to say about prophecy? And this is important because many people today claim to have the gift of prophecy. And what does the Scripture say about the gift of prophecy and what it is? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, Peter says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is how the Apostle Peter describes prophecy. In short, what Peter is saying is that prophecy is speaking the very words of God. And those that will stand up in the pulpit from time to time can attest to this, that you wish that God would give you the words, that you wouldn't have to prepare, that it would just come to you through supernatural means, and it doesn't work that way today. But what Peter is saying is that the ones who did prophesy, they didn't have to study, they didn't have to prepare. God was using them in a supernatural way. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So these people were speaking the very words of God. They were not deciding what to say. The Holy Spirit caused them to speak God's word. So the person with the gift of prophecy, when that gift was exercised, he's not speaking on his own behalf. He's not speaking his own words. In contrast, I'd like to read to you a little bit about a man who claims to have the gift of prophecy, and maybe some of you have heard the name before. Sam Storms. Sounds like he should be a meteorologist, but he's a preacher in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And he's very popular and very well known and has written a lot of books. And he has the gift of prophecy, he says. And he's one who's very charismatic and believes miraculous spiritual gifts are being exercised today and that he has those gifts. So, in one of his sermons, he says that prophecy is the speaking forth in merely human words what God has brought to mind. You see how that's a little bit different than what Peter said? Peter said that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that sounds like God's telling them what to say. And this Mr. Storms is saying, well, you know, prophecy is speaking forth in human words what God has brought to mind. And then he goes on to say that Christians need to test what comes to the prophet's mind. He said, and I'm quoting this, he says, my guess, in fact, I'm absolutely certain of it, that everyone who has ever been blessed
to exercise this gift of prophecy has in some measure here or there gotten something wrong, but that doesn't make them a false prophet. He's given himself a little wiggle room there, isn't he? I've got the gift of prophecy, but you know, even those of us that have the gift of prophecy, from time to time we get something wrong. Peter didn't say anything about that. Peter said men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, but occasionally the Holy Spirit made some mistakes and had to go back and correct it. No, that's not what he said. So it's interesting that someone who claims to have the gift of prophecy is saying, well, you know, it's not always right. You know, so how could you really trust what he said? And then he further describes the gift of prophecy, and this is another quote. He says, prophecy is a mixture of the infallible divine word of God and the fallible, oftentimes errant, interpretation and application of men and women like you and me. So again, I want you to consider how different this is than how Peter describes prophecy. Peter describes prophecy very simply, that it's how men were moved by the Holy Spirit. And God, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, gave a powerful declaration about prophecy. The true gift of prophecy was to speak the very words of God. Deuteronomy says, but the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So, God commanded that the people who claimed to speak in God's name but did not truly speak the words of God, what was to happen to them? They were to be killed. How are people going to know if this person is truly a prophet? How are they going to know if this person who claims to have the gift of prophecy really has the gift of prophecy? Deuteronomy says the test is if his words come true or not. If that person claimed to speak as a prophet, but his words were not true or did not come to pass, that person was to be killed. And I'm just picking on this one person who claims to be a prophet because of the way he defined it and gave himself the wiggle room. He maybe didn't read Deuteronomy. I don't know. But this is really different the way that he describes prophecy. He says that every person who ever had the gift of prophecy sometimes gets something wrong. But God doesn't say that. God says the ones that truly have the gift of prophecy don't get it wrong. And if they say that they have the gift of prophecy and it's wrong, then they don't have, then they're not a true prophet. The one who has the gift of prophecy never said anything wrong because they are speaking the very words of God. Prophecy is not left up to the interpretation or the application of the man. It was activated and empowered by God, not themselves. They spoke the words that the Holy Spirit carried them along to say. And I don't know how much reading or looking into this, you know, so-called gift of prophecy some of you have done, but you know, for a while it was a very interesting subject to me because I was around so many people that believed in these spiritual gifts. And what I noticed is that when somebody would claim, and I even visited a church one time when people were standing up claiming to have the gift of prophecy. And, you know, for example, you know, one person prophesied, here's the message from God. God wants to build you up. Well, that's as generic as anything you get out of a fortune cookie. You know, that is so generic. You know, what did I learn from that prophecy? it's so broad and nonspecific, it's really not telling me anything. That's not a prophecy. You know, when we look into the Word of God, we see declarations of God's revelation. You know, it's not some kind of vague impression. Prophecy was a verbal declaration using the words. You know, it was either vocalized by a prophet or it was written down by a prophet for the use of others. And so we don't define prophecy in the way that much of the world does. It's something that was very specific, and God had a message to give, and He used men to deliver that message. And there was a time when those spiritual gifts ended. And today, we need to use the same kind of test that Deuteronomy said. Even though I know there's no new prophets today, nobody has these gifts because there's no apostles around to lay hands on people to give these gifts. But you can certainly tell when somebody's speaking the words of God or not. Because it's either going to be the same as what you read here. It's going to be different. All spiritual gifts are given by God through the apostle laying on hands. Therefore, there are no spiritual gifts given today because all the apostles have died. And I've mentioned that several times. But it's important because there's so many people today that claim to have something extra. That they're more spiritual than you because they've been given some special gift. But God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit through His Word, and we have it all recorded for us. And it's without error, and it's fully trustworthy. This is the great thing that God has done for us, because we don't need the prophets today. It's all been declared, and we have it all written down and preserved for us. The very words of God that we can hold in our hands today, whether it's on your tablet or your iPhone or your Bible. When we read, we're reading the very words of God that teach us how it is that we can come to Christ. And so when we look at 1 Corinthians and look at some of the regulations that Paul puts upon the Corinthians in the exercising of these gifts, you know, there are some applications that we're going to make to ourselves as we go throughout this study, and how brethren ought to get along, and how we ought not to be trying to draw attention to ourselves, but looking for the common good is what Paul said was to be done here. There's a lot of applications that we can make to ourselves, but the one application that we can't make to ourselves is, how am I going to exercise this miraculous gift that God has given me? Because we're not given that today, because none of us have had our hands laid on by one of the apostles who witnessed the resurrected Christ. So I hope this will be useful to you and help you. I know probably most of you understand this concept, but it is something that's greatly misunderstood in the world today. And it causes a lot of problems when people claim to have something extra. That they have some kind of extra knowledge that somebody else doesn't have. It really confuses and perverts the Word of God. Because who are you going to believe? You're going to believe this person over here that claims to have the gift of prophecy, that God's given them some special message? You're going to believe the other guy over here that says something different? No, he's wrong. He doesn't really have the gift. I do. It really simplifies it a great deal when you just look at the truth of God's Word and you use that. I hope that will be useful to you. In any way, you're subject to the invitation today. You're desirous of becoming a Christian. If you started that life and haven't been faithful, we invite you to come. We can help in any way as we stand and sing.